I want to share with you that my name is Timothy Silcott. I'm a missionary evangelist with Come International Baptist Ministries. By the way, are you able to move the camera over here to be able to see? Are you see a little bit better? Good. All right. Good. Good to have everybody here on the internet as well, on the live feed. It's been a privilege to be able to be here. Come International Baptist Ministries allows me as an evangelist to travel around the world holding revival meetings on the basis of a love offering. And so a lot of churches are not able to have an evangelist because of the expense, and we want to go where God wants us to be. I believe that God has given the gift of the evangelist to the local church, not just to the mega church, but to the local church, so that we can be an encouragement. Come also allows me as an evangelist to be able to do extended projects, they call them, an internship, in being an interim pastor. And that way we could come and help churches that are looking for pastors. And so we're praying about it, seeing what God's going to do. And maybe we could be here for 4 or 5 months, help you pray for a pastor, that God would provide the man that would love the people here and love the community and be a part of it. And so we'd love to be a part of that. So we'll see what happens. We're praying about it, having a meeting tonight. And so we'll see what goes on and see what's happening. I travel around the world as well as in the United States and hold meetings. I do camps, vacation Bible schools, revival meetings, Bible conferences, missions conferences, wherever God has for us to go. Back in 1983, as I was graduating from high school, going off into college, I had a desire to work with what's called ventriloquism. It is an opportunity to share the Word of God in a very unique way that captures the attention of not only children, but young adults as well. You know, children that are 102 and 103, you know, they enjoy it too, you know. And so today I just want to share with you another message like I did before. I was here and told the story of Jonah and the great fish. Remember that? And so tonight I want to share with you the story about the very first boat that was ever built. And by the way, it's not the Titanic. This boat is actually found in the Word of God. And you know, when I say something like a story, a lot of times we get the idea of once upon a time, fairy tale, right? But this is a true account. This actually occurred. It's found in the Word of God. And I believe that God's Word is the inspired Word of God, that we can believe what it says. That when God says that He created this world in 6 literal days, that's exactly what He did. When God said that He covered the world in a worldwide flood because of His hatred towards sin, that's exactly what He did. So here today, I want to share with you this story about the very first boat that was ever built. And this boat here is found in Genesis chapter 6. And my friend by the name of Rodney is going to come and help me share this important story with you about the very first boat that was ever built. You listen. I think I have my friend up here somewhere. I do. There we go. Let me get my stand. I got a little stand here for him to sit on right there. There we go. And we'll see if Rodney is available. See if he's awake here. Oh, boy, it's my turn. I get to get out. Hey, this is exciting. It's my turn. Oh, boy, it's my turn. I get to get out. I get to get out. Oh, boy, then. Hey, wow, this is exciting. It's my turn. I get to get out. Hey, are there people here? Oh, yeah, there's some people. Any girls? Oh, yeah, there's girls too. Okay. Oh, boy. It's my turn. I get to get out. This is exciting. Hey, good to see you guys. How you doing? Hey, that's exciting. It's good to be here. Here we go. Land ho. Get out the cannons. Fire one. F-16. Boom. Machine guns. Hold it, hold it. Wait a second. What are you doing, Lee? You said they're going to tell the stories out of dope. You're right, Rodney. I am going to tell them a story about a boat. And it's got F-16s, and it's got cruise missiles, it's got tanks, it's got a turbine diesel engine, and a... Hold it. Wait a second. Let's throw up. Rodney, this boat did not have F-16s. No. Turbine diesel engine. No, it didn't have a turbine diesel... A sail. No, it didn't have a sail. A helm. A helm. What's a helm? Oh, you turn it to the right, the boat goes right. You turn it to the left, the boat goes left. Hold it, wait a second, wait. This boat did not have a helm either. No F-16s. No turbine diesel engines. No sail. No F-16s. No missiles. Well, that sounds pretty boring to me. I'm going to take a nap. Anyway, God told Noah that he wanted Noah to build an ark because he was going to just destroy the world right now. It's about time you get involved in this story. The Bible shares with us that God was going to destroy the world in a worldwide flood. How come? Because God hated sin. Nobody believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. Well, tell me more about this story. Well, the Bible shares with us that God wanted Noah to build an ark. And the purpose was is to put all the people that will believe God into the ark. It must have been a very big boat. Rodney, it was. The Bible shares with us it was a huge boat. In fact, it was 300 cubits long. Wait a second, hold it. What's a cubit? You know a cubit. Well, wait a second, hold it. You got a calculator? No, I do not have a calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see. That's 450 feet long. You're right. And not only that, but it was also 50 cubits wide. 50. There he goes with the cubits again. You got a calculator? Nope. No calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see. That's 75 feet wide. And not only that, the Bible shares with us, it was 30 cubits high. There he goes with the cubits again. You got a calculator? No calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see. That's 45 feet high. Not only that, but it's 100,000 cubits long, and it's 1,396,000 cubic feet, and a cargo capacity of 45,000 tons. How did you do that? Well, it's because I know, dummy. In any case, it was a huge boat. The purpose of it was to put all the people in the world who believed God and obeyed him. How many people on the ark? Rodney, that's the saddest part. The Bible shares with us that there were only eight. Only? That's all? Yeah. You see, nobody believed God. Nobody believed God that he was going to do exactly what he said that he was going to do, that there will be a worldwide flood. The Bible shares with us that there were only eight. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, and Noah and his wife. That's it? Yep. But God also told Noah that he was going to put all the animals around the world on the ark. What did you say? Animals. God was to put animals on the ark. It must have stank on the ark. Yeah. In any case, the Bible shares with us that God was to put two horses on the ark. Wait a second. Hold it. What's the horse? A horse. It's got four legs, and you put a saddle on. Oh, equines. What's an equine? Scientific name for horse. I see. And then God also was going to put two pigs on there. Hold it. Wait a second. What's a pig? A pig. It's got four legs. It goes oink, oink. Oh, porcines. Well, what's a porcine? Scientific name for a pig. I see. And God also was going to put two cows on there. Hold it. Wait a second. What's a cow? A cow. It's got four legs. It goes moo. Oh, doldine. Hold it. Wait a second. Let me guess. Scientific name for a cow. That's right. You can teach an old horse new tricks. Yeah. In any case, the Bible shares with us that there are a lot of animals, two of every kind. And that's why the world is populated with the animals today. I know another animal. You know another animal on the ark. I sure do. Okay, you tell us. What other animal was on the ark? A ventriloquist. Never mind. In any case, the Bible shares with us that Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. He obeyed God. And as a result of it, he and his family were saved from the destruction that was about to come. Oh, Noah, as he was there for over a year, I'm sure he had a lot of responsibility that I did it with Doreen. But boy, oh, Rodney, think of all the wonderful things they could do. I bet they could play card games. No, they can't. Wait a second. Why can't Noah play card games? Because Noah's standing on the deck. Well, you know, they can even go fishing. No, they can't. Wait a second. Why can't Noah go fishing? They only got two learns. In any case, Noah obeyed God. He listened to what God had to say. And as a result of it, we're in the world today. Yes, people say there's no way that they could have put all those animals on the ark. But when you consider the fact that God told Noah to put two of every kind, they didn't have to have all the different dogs like poodles and shepherds and all those. All they needed was the two, the first two, whether it's a wolf or whatever it might be, and the rest of the dogs that we see in the world today have populated off from those two. Wow. God, the good God, isn't he? He certainly is. Now, Rodney, why don't you say goodbye to these fine folks? Okay, we'll see you guys later, okay? Are you sure the ark did not have a turbine diesel engine? Yep, I'm pretty sure. Oh, boy, a sail. Nope, no sails. Sounds pretty daring to me. But they did what God told them to do. They sure did. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Hey, thanks for coming. That was pretty exciting. We'll see you later. Good to meet you. Thanks for coming. Look out. Cut that out. Sorry. That was Rodney. What a powerful story. I'd like to encourage you to join me in Genesis chapter 6. Enjoy that? That's quite a guy, isn't he? Yes, he is. Genesis chapter 6. I want to share with you that Noah was a man who believed God. He believed that God's word was true and that he could trust him. Let me share with you here in Genesis chapter 6. If you're there, say amen. 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 All right, here in Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 5 if you would. The word of God says this: God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then look up at verse 11. It says this: the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. It was a corrupt world, a world that disobeyed God, a world that turned their back upon God, a world that wasn't interested in the things of God. But yet in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this wickedness, we see verse 9 that says this: There are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, listen to this, I like this phrase, walked with God. If you underline things in your Bible, that's a good thing to underline. He walked with God. You know, when I consider that phrase, that Noah walked with God, it kind of fits into the message this morning. Because in order for Noah to walk with God, there's a few things that have to take place. Think of this. The Bible shares with us the definition of the word repent. The word repent means a change of direction, to turn around, right? So when I consider the fact that Noah was a righteous man, a just man, and then he walked with God, there had to have been a time when he turned from his sin and he looked to the Lord. Think about it. The picture is, with the word repent, that when we're born in this world, we're born in sin, lost, condemned, and headed for hell. We're headed the wrong direction, right? And since we're headed in the wrong direction, Noah couldn't have been walking with God, because in order to walk with God, you have to be walking in the same direction. Isn't that true? You cannot physically walk with somebody walking two different directions. It is impossible. So there had to have been a time when Noah turned from his sin and looked to the Lord, and he was headed the same direction. Noah walked with... That's a powerful phrase. You know, that word repent not only is a change of direction, but it's also a change of mind. It's a change of mind about my sin. It's a change of mind about the Savior. And it's also a change of mind about our selfish pride that says, I don't need God. I can do this myself. So not only is it a change of direction, but it's a change of mind about who Jesus is, the Savior. It's a change of mind about my sin, that it's my sin that's headed, I'm headed for hell. God hates my sin and won't allow my sin into his presence. But Noah, being a just man, and scripture tells us that he was walking with God, there had to have been a time in his life when he turned from his sin and he looked to the Lord. Here he is, a man walking with God. That is a powerful phrase. He did everything that God commanded him. If you look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, listen to this. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's powerful. That's a wow phrase. That is exciting. Noah was a man who walked with God. You know, in order to walk with God, there are three things that must take place. First of all, you have to be going in the same direction, right? And listen to this. In order to walk with God, you also have to be headed for the same destination. Isn't that true? I mean, it doesn't take very long. If you're walking together and you have two different destinations, you're not walking together anymore, right? So he had to have the same destination. Think of this. Noah told God to build an ark, right? What if Noah looked up to God and said, God, I get seasick. I'd rather build a high tower. I don't want to build a boat. But that's not what Noah did. Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. But not only was he heading in the same direction and headed for the same destination, but I also want to share with you, he was walking in step. He was walking in step. He wasn't walking ahead of God trying to tell him which direction to go or to show him what direction he wants to go. He was walking with God. And I also want to submit that he wasn't walking behind God either, hoping that God would not turn around and see the sin that he's living in. Noah was a man who walked with God. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. He built that ark because God asked him to. He believed God, and he believed that God was going to do exactly what he asked him to do. God shared with Noah that he wanted him to build that ark and to bring the animals two by two. Remember that? He brought them two by two. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some cards. And these cards, there's all kinds of them up here. In fact, they got all kinds of different animals on them. See that? Got all kinds of different cards and all kinds of different animals. And so Noah was commanded of God to bring them two by two. Remember? To bring them two by two. So right here I have two monkeys. See that? Two monkeys. And so God told Noah, I want you to bring them two by two. But of course, God's the one who brought them. God's the one who sent them. And when God sent these animals, didn't he bring one boy monkey and another boy monkey, right? Right? No? No, he didn't. Maybe he brought a girl zebra and then another girl zebra. Do you think that's what God did? No, he didn't, did he? He brought them two by two. He wanted a boy zebra and a girl zebra. You know why? Because the purpose was to replenish the earth, right? Now, this world has got this all messed up. This world thinks that sin is prevalent. But no, God told Noah, I want you to bring them two by two, a boy and a girl. And realize that that is the command of marriage too. One mommy, one daddy. You know, this world says, but it's just another lifestyle. No, it's not a sin, and God hates it. He will not allow sin into his presence. And you know, that's not hate speech, because, see, God loves the homosexual, but he hates their sin. It destroys God's plan. That's not what God's plan was. God's plan was that Noah was to bring the animals two by two for the purpose of replenishing the earth. If Noah didn't do what God told him to do, there wouldn't be any more monkeys. And there wouldn't be any more chickens either. I got a boy chicken, and I got a girl chicken. And I also have a boy pig, and I have a girl pig. Now, what did Rodney say the scientific name for a pig is? What was that? No, we'll have to ask Rodney later. And he also had him bring two cats, too. A boy cat and a girl cat. And some of you might think, oh, boy, I'm sure glad that's what he did. Others are thinking, oh, I wish he would have left those two alone. But in any case, a boy cat and a girl cat. And then he also brought a boy elephant and a girl elephant, right? So here we have them two different piles. And what I'm going to do here is we're going to find out if Noah obeyed God. If Noah did exactly what God told him to do. So I'm going to mix these all up, okay? We'll just mix them all up. And we're going to find out if Noah obeyed God or not. So I'm going to mix them up. Could you let me know when I can stop mixing them? So he wanted him to mix them all up. And he wanted Noah to bring them two by two. A male and a female. A boy and a girl. For the purpose of replenishing the earth. Is that mixed up good enough? All right. You think that's good? Okay. So I'm going to make these, put these in two different piles. You ready? Here we go. Here's one, two, three, four, five, and six. There we go. And I'm going to stick them all here, net side by side. If they're going to stay there, it looks like they just might go flying off is what's going to happen here. Here we go. We'll just stick them all right here. It's the lips just aren't quite right up there. Now, we're going to find out if Noah did what God told him to do. We're going to spell out the words, bring them two by two. Okay? And so when we spell these words, the word bring, B-R-I-N-G, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a card from the top and I'm going to put it on the bottom. Now, if you want me to switch decks, just say switch. So I'm going to pick some volunteers. You can stay right where you are. You don't need to come up here. We're going to pick some volunteers and we're going to start with the word bring. How about this young lady right here? Would you be willing to help me? Can you help me out? So we're going to spell the word bring, and for every letter, I'm going to take a card from the top and put it on the bottom. If you want me to switch decks, just say switch. Okay? Nice and loud. Okay? Here we go. B-R-I-N. Okay. I'm sorry. N-G. Okay? There we go. Now let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him to do? Did he bring them two by two? Did they match? They match? Yes. Look at that, two monkeys. Very good. Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. So there's the word bring. Now we have the word them, T-H-M. Brother, can you help me out with that word? T-H-M. Here we go. If you want me to switch, say it loud, okay? Here we go. The word them, bring them, T-H-E-M. T-H-E-M. There we go. So let's find out. Did Noah do exactly what he commanded him to do? Did he obey God?
Yes.
Whoa, look at that. Two pigs. There we go. Bring them. Now the word two. Now you spell two, T-O, right?
No.
No, T-O-O, right?
No.
No. Oh, T-W-O. That's right. I'm in a Christian school. Of course, they know how to spell that. Here we go. So T-W-O. Here we go. Oh, I need a volunteer. How about right here? Would you help me out? Here we go. T. Wow, he's tricky. W-O. Okay, let's find out. Did Noah do what God commanded him to do?
Yes.
Look at that, two elephants. Wow, there we go. Bring them two. Now the word by, B-Y. It's very, very, very short. Very short. But how about our brother in the back row? Could you help me out there? Shout it out if you want me to switch decks, okay? You got the word by, B-Y. Here we go. B. Oh. And why? There we go. Let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him to do?
Yes.
Yeah, look at that. Two chickens. Very good. So bring them two by two again. T-W-O. Who wants to be my helper? Right? You want to be my helper? So we got the word two, T-W-O. If you want me to switch, holler switch. Okay, you ready? Here we go. T. W. O. Okay, let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him? Look at that, two zebras. Very good. Now I have one more set of cards. I'm pretty sure they probably match. Let's find out. Yes, indeed. Two tigers are two pretty cats. Yes. Noah did exactly what God told him to do. He obeyed him down to the step of two by two. He obeyed him and built the ark. He didn't build some high tower. He built the ark. That's what God commanded him to do. Thus did Noah. He did everything that God commanded him, hence Noah's walk with God. But not only do we want to look at Noah's walk with God, but let's also look at Noah's work for God. It's found right here in Scripture, in the Word of God. We want to look at it because here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, listen to this, it says this, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Now, folks, Noah did not go out and tear down a gopher's hut to build the ark. Nope. There are scholars who believe that this is wood that's extinct today. Other scholars believe that this is wood that was possibly treated. You know, back then the world was covered with a mist every morning. I believe that the world was covered with a canopy that caused a greenhouse effect. This greenhouse effect caused or allowed vegetation around the world. Some scientists say and evolutionists say there's no way that dinosaurs could live on this world today because there's not enough food for them. There's not enough vegetation. Well, if the world was covered with a canopy and there was a forest growing all around the world, there was plenty enough food for those dinosaurs to eat. Plenty enough food. And so hence, with the large mist in the morning watering everything, everything would get wet that's exposed. So back then, they knew how to treat wood. And because they knew how to treat wood, Noah was hence able to find wood that was well treated. The Bible goes on to share with us, go for wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, cages and things for the animals, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, folks, this is exciting. Underline the two words pitch. This is the first time in Scripture that we find the word atonement. Isn't that interesting? The ark was a picture of the atonement, covering of sin. The Bible shares with us that Noah's ark was a picture of the cross, just one door. And Noah preached the message, believe God, trust in him, come into the ark, believe in my atonement, trust in my word, and you will be saved. Isn't that powerful? That was Noah's ark. God told Noah, I want you to build this ark. Specifications. Now, our pastor this morning, or our preacher, the evangelist, he mentioned the ark in Kentucky. Do you remember that? He mentioned that. My dad is 87 years old. He had a heart attack a few months ago. And I was praying for my dad. And I had the opportunity to hold some meetings with him. Or they're at his church where he has resigned and they're looking for a pastor now. And he said to me, you know, in September, I'm going to take off. I want to go to Noah's Ark. And I want to go to the Creation Museum. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't know. My dad's 87 years old. I don't know if I want him heading across the country all by himself. And I had meetings all the way up to the end of September. I was out in Wisconsin, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, as well as Gilbert, Minnesota, and in the southern part of Minnesota. And I said, you know, Dad, let me go and finish my meetings, and then I'll come back to Rapid City, and I need to get some new glasses. I got an appointment. Because it was going to take about a month for them to get me in. And I got an appointment, and I said, Dad, I'm going to come back, get an eye appointment, and then I'm going to take you to Noah's Ark. So 4 weeks ago, I was standing before that ark that they built to the specifications. If you would like to see a picture, I've got them on my phone, so I'll show you a picture. Be sure to say something at the end. But Noah built this ark. Yet there are people in the world today say there's no way. No way that there's enough room for those animals. But when you start to consider the fact that God told Noah to bring them two by two and each kind. So Noah didn't have to take all the different cats that we have in the world today. He just had to take two cats. He didn't have to take all the horses in the world today. He just had to take two horses. Whatever it took to fulfill and to bring the world to the specifications and to what we have in this world today. Animals are beautiful. And God was so considerate of the fact that he wanted them to live on, that he wanted them to continue on. So he told Noah, I want you to bring them two by two. When you go to Noah's Ark, they've got all kinds of different seminars on the different kinds. But, you know, it's really interesting. I even sat there in some of those seminars, and I mean, the language and the things that they were saying just went right over my head. It's like a B-52 taking off. I mean, it was incredible. But it was good information on the different kinds and how Noah placed all those animals on the ark. God shared with Noah, I want you to build an ark. And you know, God did, or rather Noah did exactly what God told him to do. He built that ark. He believed that God's word was true, didn't he? He believed that whatever God said was going to happen. You know, they never saw rain before. Never saw a rainbow before. If you have a canopy around the world, they've never seen a rainbow, never seen rain before. They didn't believe God. But Noah believed God and what he said. But let me share with you an illustration. I have up here a Bible. And you know, there's people today say, oh, it's just an old stuffy old book. There's nothing in it. You know, it's just an empty book, right? I mean, there's nothing there. It's just an empty book. There's nothing to read, nothing to believe. But you know, the Word of God shares with us that this is inspired, that it's God's written book. And you know, even though the world looks at it and says, but there's nothing there, it's just an empty book, the Bible shares with us that no, this is not just an empty book, because the Bible shares with us that God's Word is inspired, that it's the inspired Word of God. God shares with us that every jot and every tittle is going to be fulfilled. It is the Word of God. And that, yes, God did create this world in 6 literal days. There are people in the world today that say, oh, no, that's impossible. It had to have been 6 million years ago. No. No, if you use that word for a day, you know that it is a 6 literal days. You know, they say, but no, it's got to be thousands of years. Well, if the word day in Genesis is thousands of years, does that mean that the word day in Jonah is 1,000 years? Could you imagine Jonah being in the well for 3,000 years? No, that doesn't make any sense. He was in the ark for 3 days and 3 nights. A picture of Calvary and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word is true. It is the written word of God. Not only did he create this world in 6 literal days, but the Bible shares with us that within those days, he also created the stars, the moon, and you know something else? He named every single one of them, and he knows them by name. That is amazing. You know, the Orion, it's going to be coming in view pretty soon. The Orion. And you know, when you look at the Orion, in the upper left corner is a star by the name of Betelgeuse. Do you realize that Betelgeuse is 2.5 times the size of our Earth's rotation around the sun? It is huge. And God created that. He created that. But you know, yet people look at the Word of God and say, no, no, it just happened. It's just an accident. But you know, I'm not an accident. I'm not a mishap. I'm created in the image of God. But yet people look at the Word of God and say, but it's just an empty book. No, it's not. The most important news is this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We are born in sin. But yet God loved us so much. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, if I as a sinner, lost, condemned, and headed for hell, were to turn from my sin, like Noah did, and look to the Lord, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible shares with us that though we're born in sin, lost, condemned, and headed for hell, that if we as a sinner were to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive us of our sin, you know what he'll do? He will cleanse us as white as snow. He'll forgive me of my sin, that I might have eternal life, that I might spend eternity with him. That's God's love. The picture of the ark, the atonement, the hope that we have in Christ, that yes, we're all born in sin, all condemned, but yet Christ loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sin. And if we as a sinner were to trust him as our Savior, he would cleanse us as white as snow. The Bible shares with us that if we accept him as our Savior and he cleanses us as white as snow, his promise is that we will walk on streets of gold, a place called heaven. What a beautiful place. God's creating it. You know, he took 6 days to create the world, the stars, the animals. But over 2,000 years, he's been preparing a place for you and me. Could you imagine how beautiful it must be to take 2,000 years? Wow. But you know, as a sinner, if we trust Christ as our Savior, he cleanses us as white as snow. And the promise is that we're going to walk on streets of gold. Shouldn't it also be true that we walk with God, that we grow in our spiritual lives, that we realize that who Christ is and trust in him as our personal Savior? Oh, my friend, just as Noah, don't look at his word and say, but it's just an empty book. Because it's not. It's filled with many, many truths that we can cling to and hold to. His promise. Noah. Not only the fact that Noah's walk with God, secondly, Noah's work for God, but thirdly, Noah's worthiness from God. The Bible shares with us that Noah by faith believed in the Lord. He forgave him of his sin. He gave him hope. He walked through that door that day, and God shut the door. God told Noah, I want you to go into the ark. Look at this. In Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. He looks at Noah, and God closes the door. Look at verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh. And God had commanded him, or as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So God told Noah, I want you to go into the ark. By faith, he believed God, and he believed his word to be true. He and his family were the only ones who entered the ark. Could you imagine preaching for 120 years and never having a single convert? Not a one. But yet Noah was faithful. Oh, it breaks my heart when I preach and hold revival meetings and I don't see somebody respond. It breaks my heart. And I think about Noah. Noah was so faithful. But yet was God. God was faithful too. Listen to this. Now, folks, I know that you have never had a preacher make a mistake. I know. You've never had a preacher make a mistake. But this morning, or tonight, I am going to make a mistake. So open your Bible here, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Now watch real close. I am going to make a mistake. Are you ready? Are you looking? Are you watching? Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Noah, go thou and all thy house into the ark. Now tell me, is that what God said? No. What did God say? He said, come, didn't he? Listen to this. God did not say go. He said come. Now tell me, you guys are really smart. You're scholars. I know you're scholars. You're scholars. Tell me something. Where does God have to be in order to say come? That's true, anywhere, but specifically in the ark. God's not some God way out there that's not interested in our lives. He is right here. And even though we go through struggles and trials, and even though we wonder what's going to take place in the future, we know that God is in control. He's here. He's in our presence. He's here. God's not some God way out there not interested in you and me. He is involved. There are some people in the world today say, oh, no, God's not interested in the little details of my life. I want you to know he is. He's very interested in each part of our lives and in each one of us. We're not insignificant. We're created in the image of God. And God loves each and every one of us. Oh, so important to realize that God said, come. Noah, I want you to come. Trust in my atonement. Believe my word to be true. Trust in me. And you know, it's the same message for us today. Just as God promised to destroy the world in the worldwide flood, God's going to destroy the world again in a huge ball of fire. This world is going to be destroyed. Now, folks, I know the world tries to tell us that everything's going to fall apart. Have you ever heard of global warming? Anybody? Global warming, global change. Have you heard that? Oh, the world is so afraid. Global change, global climate is their God. But I want to share with you that climate change is not going to destroy this world. God is. You know, even if Christ were to return today, this world would be in existence for 1,007 years. 7 years of tribulation and 1,000 years of Christ ruling and reigning on the throne of David. So no matter what happens, this world is not going to end. Genesis chapter 20 shares with us, after the destruction of the flood, it shares with us there's going to be spring, harvest, fall until the end. This world is not going to come to a close until God destroys it. So climate change is a lie, scaring us into thinking that, oh, the world's going to fall apart. No, God says he's going to destroy the world, not man. We're not going to destroy it. God is. And that was his promise. Noah was a man who believed God. The question today is, do you believe God? Do you believe his word? Have you trusted in him? Has there been a day when you personally turned from your sin and looked to the Lord and trust in Christ alone? Let me share with you an illustration. I think I have up here, let's see here, I've got, oh, yep, here's my pair of scissors. But I think I had a rope here. Oh, yeah, I remember. Here we go. Yeah, here it is right here. Yes, yep, there we go. I got a rope here. Kind of reminds me of our lives, and it's kind of long. Yep, there we go. I got this rope here, and it represents our lives. You know, when Adam and Eve were created, the Bible shares with us that they had a beautiful relationship with God. They walked with God in the cool of the evening. But one day, Lucifer comes along and tricks Eve into believing that God was holding out on them, that God wasn't telling them the whole truth. And so the Bible shares with us that Eve partook of that fruit that God told him not to and gave to her husband who was right there. You know, I always thought as a young person listening to this story that Adam was off somewhere working on something, you know, building something, and Eve was by herself. No, it says right there that Eve, her husband was standing right there. He heard the whole conversation. He heard everything. And he partook of the fruit as well. Because they disobeyed God, the Bible shares with us that all men have fallen into sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You wonder about all the turmoil, disease, and pain, and anguish. It's not God. It's man's choice. We're the ones who chose. We're the ones who chose to disobey God and partake of that fruit, and death has come into the world. And so our relationship with God has been destroyed. So I'm going to take this rope here, and I'm going to find the center of this rope just like this, and I'm going to bring it up here, and I'm going to cut this rope in half because our relationship with God has been severed. It's been destroyed. It's been ruined. So I'm going to cut. You know, this is hard to do. I really like ropes. I do. I'm going to go ahead. Oh, man, that's hard to do. That just hurts. So I'm going to go ahead and drop this end here, and I'm going to take this rope like this, and I am going to tie it into a knot. Because, you see, our relationship with God has been severed. It has been destroyed, and it's all because of sin. Because we chose to disobey God and not do what God commanded us to do. And because of our sin, the Bible shares with us that death, disease, pain, and anguish has come into the world. Look at that. There it is. A knot right there in the middle of my relationship with God. It's been destroyed. It's been severed. So I'm also going to take this in, tie it into another knot, just like this. There we go. And I'm also going to take this in, just like this, and tie him into a knot. I think my time's almost gone. We're almost done here. Tie him into a knot too. And then I'm going to cut him in half and two more times. Pray for me. This is really hard to do. Let me tell you. So I'm going to cut this one in half right there. Oh, man. I'm going to come over here. Cut this one in half, too. Oh, man. Oh, there it goes. There we go. So here we have it. Three knots in our relationship with God. Because of our sin, the Bible says we cannot spend eternity in heaven. You know, the Word of God says, love not the world. Neither the things are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Man looks at their sin problem and says, well, I can solve this myself. You know, if I just live a good enough life, and you know, I clean up my life myself, I just work really hard, you know, and I stop smoking, and I stop drinking, and I really try to clean up my life, and I start going to church, and I try to live a good life, and you know, and I help an old lady across the street. And of course, we don't have any old ladies here in the church, so that's going to be hard to do. And we just kind of clean up our life like this, you know, just really work on it. And now that my life is all cleaned up, I have a good relationship with, there are still three knots in this rope. Because, you know, the Word of God shares with us, not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Well, man thinks, oh, I can do this myself. No, No, do you remember the word repent? A change of mind about my sin, change of mind about the Savior, and a change of mind about my selfish pride that says I can do this myself. Only through Christ can our relationship be restored. So I need a helper. Usually I pick the youngest girl in the auditorium. Is there a young lady here somewhere? Would you be willing to help me? Could you help me out? Come on up here. Can you come up here? You're ready to stretch those legs, right? Come on up here. Can you stand up here on the platform? Let's stand up right here, okay? Can you stand right there? Where did she go? There she is. Can you stand right there? There you go. You stand. Now, have you blown a candle out? Oh, you're an expert at this already. So a man says, hey, I can solve this problem myself. How about if I just go get baptized? You know, if I get baptized, won't that solve my sin problem? No. You know, you could get baptized so many times that the tadpoles will save your, will know your name, and it won't save you. It won't do it. It's only by faith. So what I want you to do, if we by faith accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he will restore that which is broken. So on the count of three, can you blow on that knot right there? Can you do that? Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three, blow. Very good. Look at that. It's gone. Restored. Only God can do that. Only he can set free those who are bound. Now, I have another one here. And the old man thinks, well, what if I partake of communion? You know, if I partake of communion, won't that mean I'll go to heaven? No. Remember, communion is in remembrance of me. It doesn't save us. It's to help us to remember what Christ has done for us. So it's by faith, right? By faith and faith alone. So on the count of three, can you blow on that knot right there? Here we go. One, two, three, blow. And there it goes. Look at that. Only God can restore that which was broken. Only God can do that. Well, I got one more. There it is, one more. It's impossible. But no, Christ can do the impossible. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. All you have to do is reach out and take it. On the count of three, can you blow on that knot right there? There we go. One, two, three, blow. And there it goes, just like that. Only God can do that. Only he can set me free. Only he can save my soul. Thank you so much. How about a high five? Very good. You may be seated. Give her a hand. She did a good job. Noah. Noah was a man who walked with God. Question today is, are you walking with God? The ark was a picture of Calvary, the atonement, that we might have eternal life. Noah told all those in the world that day, trust in the Lord. Step into the ark and your lives will be saved. The message is the same today. Trust in Christ and Christ alone that you might have eternal life. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God today and for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, one here that's not sure that their sins are forgiven, I pray that today, they'll find out what it means to be born again, to be set free from their sin, that they might have eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother, you come. Lead us in the closing hymn. If you have a need here tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, please come. You come as we sing.
Please turn in your hymns to 167. 167. I'm not there yet. Here we go. Just as I am without one plea, then at the said for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come, verse 2, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul
of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come on the last. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen. Well, thank you all very much. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the messages that you've given us today, and help us to hide your word in our heart, Father, so we can go out into the world and be the salt and the light of the world, and that we can just shine for you, Jesus. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Yeah.